Number five is going to be our starting point tonight. And prayer is our topic tonight, but not just prayer, biblical prayer. And I bought my aunt a coffee cup, and it's just got a quote on it from an eight-year-old boy, and it says, "I wonder sometimes if we ever give God a headache." That's a good question. You know, it's pretty amazing that all of us all around the world can pray, and God can sort that out, answer prayers all at once. Pretty amazing. Pretty amazing that the only reason he'll hear us is the blood of Christ. And we understand that. We'll look further into that. But I think that it would be a good idea, if we wanted our prayers answered by God, to go into the Bible and see how God and the Holy Spirit recorded prayers and to see what they're really all about. And I think that in our country, I know myself personally, I get hung up with praying for myself a little bit too much. I get hung up praying with or praying for material things a little bit too much. And this is one of those messages where usually what we do in prayer, it's backwards what the Bible teaches how to pray. And it's very evident. Two themes we'll get out of this message tonight. And one is Thanksgiving, heart of Thanksgiving. And the other is to have a powerful prayer life for others, for those around us. And so let's read 1 Thessalonians chapter number 5, verse 17. And this says, pray without ceasing, and verse number 18, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. So a few things about our prayers. First, we must realize that unless we have trusted Christ as our Savior, God does not hear our prayers. The only prayer that he'll hear from a sinner is a prayer of repentance unto salvation. John chapter 9 and verse number 31 says, now we know that God heareth not sinners, but if any man be a worshiper of God and doeth his will, him he heareth. Well, what's his will? Well, that you believe on him whom he hath sent. And that's the only begotten Son of God, the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, after you have received salvation, after you've asked for forgiveness, you become adopted into the family of God, you become a child of God, and then God hears every single one of your prayers from that point forward. It's quite a difference. In our country, you know, catastrophe strikes and God bless America goes up in the windows and the pray for our country stickers go out in the lawn, and that's all good and fine, but if people aren't saved, God's not hearing their prayers. We know that God heareth not sinners. But praise the Lord for us. If we are saved, if we've trusted in Christ, then he hears every prayer we pray. Now, also, it says pray without ceasing. And we should all have our dedicated time of prayer. And it's great to pray as a church family. And we really should have our own separate time of prayer. But if you think about it, if you're saved, God's home. God's home all the time. We are the temple of the Holy Ghost. And so every word we say is actually what we pray. We're in open-ended prayer all the time because Jesus Christ is at the right hand of the Father, and he ever lives to make intercession for us. And he it is. He's the door. He it is who brings the prayers to God for us. And we're grateful for that. But now what our verse did not specify is what to pray for without ceasing. And so we're going to walk through both the letters of 1 Thessalonians and 2 Thessalonians tonight, and we're going to take a look at the entries. It's like a prayer journal, if you will, and it'll surprise us, I think. A lot of it is a thanksgiving for what has already taken place and spiritual progress, not an asking for things. So let's turn back to 1 Thessalonians chapter number 1. And we'll walk through this together. I guess a message on prayer would be good to start out with prayer. Amen. Heavenly Father, we pray tonight that you would help us to understand this, the importance of our prayers to you. Thank you for the privilege of prayer and the fact that we can come to you 24/7 and that you see us with Jesus Christ as in the throne room and that our prayers matter so much to you. Lord, help us to understand the importance of having a heart attitude of thankfulness and thanksgiving. And Lord, help us to understand how powerful of a life we are supposed to have in praying for others through this message tonight. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. So 1 Thessalonians chapter number 1 and verse number 2 is our first stop. And it says, "We give thanks to God always for you all, making mention of you in our prayers." All right. So this one hit me pretty hard studying it right out the gate. Now it says, "We give thanks to God always for you," but it says, "for you all," which includes the people that you're not very happy with at the present time. And it even includes the Christians who are not as good as you think you are, and I think I am. It includes all of us all around the world. So we give thanks to God always for you all, but making mention of you in our prayers. I don't know about you, but I'm pretty good at doing way more than making mention of people in my prayers that I'm praying for. Dear Lord, you know, help so-and-so. He's only come to church twice in the last month when it's supposed to be, you know, 16 times. And help him with his pride. He's dealing with that. And help him with his selfishness. And Lord, you know he hasn't stopped doing this yet. And Lord, you know he's still doing this. I hear that. I hear the Lord say that to me. He says, keep it clean. Look, just make mention of each other in our prayers. And if we could just keep it clean, and we could go to intercession for each other. But we don't have to confess their faults for them. God knows everything. Isn't that right? But we think we need to do that. Yeah, he knows all things. He doesn't need a refresher course on their faults. And so let's keep it clean. When we do pray for others, let's just make mention of them in our prayers. Second verse. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse number 13. 1 Thessalonians 2, chapter 2 and verse number 13. All right, "For this cause also thank we God without ceasing, because when ye received the word of God which ye heard of us, ye received it not as the word of men, but as it is in truth, the word of God which effectually worketh also in you that believe." So again, we find them giving thanks to God without ceasing for others. But this time, the reason is because of the fact that they received what they heard as the word of God, not as something that men wrote up. And it says that it effectually works in them. And so Paul here giving thanks again for something that's already taken place in their life, spiritually speaking. And he says, "I thank God that you did not just receive this as, you know, 40 men that wrote the Bible over 1,800 years. You've received it as the Holy Spirit that wrote the entire Bible through the hands of 40 men. It's got one author." And that's one of the big problems in our world today, is people think the Bible got messed up and they can't put their trust in it. When you take that step of faith into believing that the Word of God is absolutely what God wanted us to have, and it's the Word of God and it's from the mouth of God, then he can do something for you in your faith, and he'll affirm over and over after you take that step of faith to say every word of this Bible is true. He will take you to the next level in your Bible reading to understand that yes, indeed, it's the Word of God, and there are no mistakes, there are no errors in it. And so Paul is again thankful for that. Next verse would be 1 Thessalonians chapter number 3 and verse 9 and 10. Over to chapter 3, verse 9 and 10. And this says, "For what thanks can we render to God again for you, for all the joy wherewith we joy for your sakes before our God?" And so they're joyful that they are still walking worthy of the Lord. And then it says, "Night and day, praying exceedingly, that we might see your face and might perfect that which is lacking in your faith." So here it is, giving thanks again. And then night and day, praying exceedingly that we might see your face and might perfect that which is lacking in your face, in your faith. What he means here is that he is thankful for his brothers and sisters in Christ, and that he is always excited for and thinking about the next time that he will be able to see them. And I think that that's very important for us too. Night and day, praying exceedingly, there's our praying without ceasing, and we should have each other on each other's mind all the time instead of just ourselves, amen? So he said, "I'm praying exceedingly that we might see your face," and so we should always be thinking of the next time that we get together, the next time that we have a fellowship, the next time that we get to meet up, the next time that we get to talk and pray together and hear the Word of God preached, and that definitely helps our organization skills when we're just coming back to the Lord and we're just getting straightened out. It'll slow our brains down and get us back on gear number 3 instead of gear number 12. And just be focused on those around you, those that you go to church with. Thank God for a church family, a genuine church family that you know in the bottom of your heart cares for you. And you should be just praying exceedingly to see their face for the next time. And then that, to perfect that which is lacking in your faith, the next part of this verse, he just said, you need me to help you perfect you. And I need you to help me, to help perfect me. And, you know, you can grow alone, but it's a very slow growth. And if we're not moving toward the Lord, we're moving away from the Lord. There is no neutral position in Christianity. You're fighting for ground or you're losing ground. But we have something that the pastor needs. And the pastor and his family have something that we need. And we all need to be growing together in grace and in knowledge and in truth for our faith, that which is lacking in it, to be made perfect. Amen? So far, all we've really seen is a thanks for what has already been taking place and a thanksgiving. And again, in my prayers, I find myself praying for things I don't have yet more than being thankful for what I've already got, and praying a little more for myself than I need to instead of others. And praying for yourself, I mean, really, it has its proper place. He said to pray for your needs. But we should be praying for others first and ourselves at the very tail end, right? Not for ourselves very first and then throw somebody else in or on the tail end. And we want to transform our thinking to that. So let's see here. The next verse would be our starting verse, 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse number 17. 1 Thessalonians chapter number 5 and verse number 17. So pray without ceasing. And then in everything, give thanks, for this is the will of Christ Jesus, the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. And so we're starting to grasp a better concept now, that in everything, give thanks. Now notice, it doesn't say for everything, give thanks, but it says in everything, give thanks. And you don't have to be thankful for things that are bad that happen, but you can be thankful for sure that they weren't worse. I mean, something worse, very rarely could it have not been worse. And to have a heart and a mind of thanksgiving in everything is a big difference. I mean, you know, you don't have to be thankful your car got totaled, but you could be thankful that you didn't get totaled in the car. Amen? That's huge, to have a transformed mindset, to always be thankful for where we're at, and make sure, amen. Wow, thank you, Lord. It could have been worse.
Yeah,
it amen. Could have been worse.
Yeah.
Amen. Thank God for that. The next verse, move down a few verses to 1 Thessalonians chapter number 5 and verse 23, and it says, and the very God of peace sanctify you wholly, and I pray God your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. And so toward the end of the letter, Paul finally asks for something for them. Up to this point, it's pretty much been a thanksgiving for the growth that he's witnessed in them and experienced in them. Even from afar, he's heard of the growth in them. There's two letters, and it's amazing. The second letter, it seems you can almost feel the growth. They've kept their end of the deal. They've continued to walk with the Lord. But here, he finally, at the end of the letter, he asks for some. And it's not for a new car or a new house or a job with more money or anything really material. He prayed that their spiritual and physical life as a whole would be sanctified and preserved by God. And that's what we need to be praying for each other about, that our physical and spiritual life would be preserved by God and would be sanctified. And preserved by God, that's a wonderful term. He really had to do everything. We really couldn't have done anything. And we definitely can't preserve ourselves blameless, but the power of God can keep us blameless, and he desires to do that in all of our lives, but we have to be praying for each other. that we'd be sanctified holy. That's not holy as in sinless. That's holy as in completely. The entire field there, body, soul, and spirit. We're a triune being. We're a body, a soul, and a spirit. And so finally, Paul asks for something toward the end of the letter. Move down to verse 24. Faithful is he that calleth you, who also will do it. And there are many times where it says that the Lord is the one that keeps us, preserves us, and presents us faultless and blameless before God the Father. And I'm thankful for that. I wouldn't last 10 seconds if I had to keep myself saved. Yeah. Even, I mean, maybe I'm not doing stuff with my hands. My heart sins. I'm glad you can't. There's no banner up here. It wouldn't be pretty. I don't know about if any of you are the same. I just think about the weirdest things sometimes. But he preserves us blameless through the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Thank God for that. Now, verse number 25, brethren, pray for us. Well, pray for what? Well, he didn't really say. He kind of left examples all through the letter of just giving thanks and praying for spiritual progress. And so, you see, he didn't even say anything. It's pray for us, period. Now, hang on to that for a few minutes, and we'll come back to that in just a minute. But now, that's the end of 1 Thessalonians. That's our entries for prayer. Let's turn over to 2 Thessalonians. And 2 Thessalonians chapter 1 and verse number 3 is where we pick up. We are bound to thank God always for you, brethren, as it is meet, because that your faith groweth exceedingly, and the charity of every one of you all toward each other aboundeth. And so this time he says we are bound to thank God for always for you. It's kind of like the first time we were just saying thanks. Now we're bound to say thanks. I'm writing you another letter, and you have continued to grow spiritually. But your faith groweth exceedingly, and the charity of every one of you all toward each other aboundeth. So he's very grateful that they're still growing in faith exceedingly. And he's very grateful. He's given thanks to God because the charity of every one of you all toward each other aboundeth. And in our world, it's harder all the time to show charity, especially because the whole mindset of our country is becoming prideful. It's becoming one where you have to defend yourself, protect yourself. Any sign of vulnerability or weakness is viewed as insignificant and weak, and it's very hard to show charity to each other in a world like that. And so praying for each other, that the charity of you all toward each other would abound, would be very important to pray for. So far, just a heart of thanksgiving, heart attitude of thanksgiving, and spiritual progress is basically what we have seen for others. Spiritual progress for others is what we have seen so far in these letters. Now, let's go down to chapter number 1, verse number 11. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse number 11, it says, wherefore also we pray always for you, that our God would count you worthy of this calling and fulfill all the good pleasure of his goodness and the work of faith with power, that the name of our Lord Jesus Christ may be glorified in you and ye in him according to the grace of our God and the Lord Jesus Christ. Here, Paul says that, he says, though you're not worthy, God has counted you worthy through Jesus Christ to fulfill all the good pleasure of his goodness and the work of faith with power. And God is good. He is always good to us. And it's wonderful to have the goodness of God, but God wants us to show it to others. He wants us to pass it along. And you see, when we're prideful, when we're being selfish, that goodness, it can't shine through to anybody else. We're getting it down from God, and then we're consuming it, if that makes sense. We can't give it out to anybody else. And I've heard of a great message that I heard. He said, we teach our kids to be good. And what we mean is do right. And we get righteousness mixed up with goodness. They're different. Now, living right is absolutely important, but you can live right without being good. I mean, righteousness oftentimes will cause pride in the dirtiest form of it, and pride hides. You can't even see that. But So in order to let the goodness flow through, because God is everything that there is that's good. He is the life giver. He's the giver of all good things. And you see, he gives us goodness, and it's great. It's even better when you pass it along to the people around you. Amen? All right, let's see here. And so he said, I'm praying always that you would walk worthy of this calling and let that goodness flow through you. And that only comes with spiritual growth. There can be Christians who are 20 years old who can't show much goodness. And I've experienced some, and I pray hopefully every day that God shows me if I'm being that way. I don't want to be that way. I want to be good to the people around me. I want to have a good attitude toward the people around me. I want to do everything I can to show them the goodness of God through my life, because that's how God reveals himself to people, other than his word, is his people showing goodness. Amen. All right. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 13 is our next one. Chapter 2, verse number 13. It says, but we are bound, there's the word again, to give thanks always to God for you, brethren, beloved of the Lord, because God hath from the beginning chosen you to salvation through sanctification of the Spirit and belief of the truth. So this verse actually, I think, is one of the ones that could be used to take the Calvinist doctrine and blow it out of proportion. The some are saved, or some are predestined to be saved, some are predestined to be lost because of this. Hath from the beginning chosen you to salvation. But if you look all through the Bible, you'll see that the cross and Jesus Christ on the cross, it was set from before the earth was formed. You can see it in Ephesians, you can see it in Timothy, and you can at least see it in Revelation 2, and maybe other places that I'm not thinking of right now. But it says that the Lamb was slain from the foundation of the world, from before the world began. And that's what this verse is talking about. And so Paul said that salvation is what is bringing you your sanctification, and the Spirit is what is sanctifying you and what's walking you through your life spiritually, and your belief of the truth. These are the things that are growing you. And it says we are bound to give thanks always to God for you for that very reason. And I'm thankful the Bible says whosoever will may come. Amen. And we need to let this Spirit and the belief of the truth transform our lives and sanctify us. And now the next, and I think final in these two letters, is chapter 3 and verse number 1 and 2. Finally, brethren, pray for us, that the word of the Lord may have free course and be glorified, even as it is with you, and that we may be delivered from unreasonable and wicked men. Okay, so in the end of the first letter, he said, brethren, pray for us, period. It was kind of like, if you remember, you know, I know you're young Christians, I know you're kind of doing your own thing, and if you remember, just pray for us. Now, finally, brethren, pray for us, comma, that the word of the Lord may have free course. I think he trusts them a little more. I think they're off of milk and onto meat and able to handle a little bit more. And so he gives them an even more detailed prayer for him. What he prays for is that the Lord may have free course and be glorified, even as it is with you, and that we may be delivered from unreasonable and wicked men. I think, honestly, that we could look at this as this would be what our pastor would want us to pray for, is for he's been called to preach, he's been called to pastor, to minister. And there's wicked and unreasonable men around every corner that want to tear him apart, tear his family apart. I'm sure, Pastor Ron, you can attest to this. It's just, Satan just hates the pastor and his family. And I think that he would love for us to pray this way, that he'd be delivered from unreasonable and wicked men, and pray that the word of the Lord may have free course and be glorified, even as it is with you. And so let's pray for our pastor and his family effectively and effectually, knowing that Satan just wants to see church doors closed. Satan just wants to see pastors' families ripped apart. And this is what Paul closed the second letter by asking for them for. So very little did he say, pray for me, you know, or pray for us. It was Silvanus and Timotheus that was with Paul, and very little did they say, pray for us. You know, it was mostly them praying and giving thanks for the Thessalonians. Okay, well, now I know how to pray for others, so how do I pray for me? Well, praying for me is not really in the Bible very much, but I can find praying for others quite a bit. I can think of two areas where Paul asked for prayer, and the answers are very different. And let's check them out. Ephesians chapter 6. Let's turn just a few books back to Ephesians chapter 6. And we're going to go to verse number 18. Ephesians chapter 6. He just got done explaining to the Ephesians the armor of God and every piece and what it does and what it protects and then the sword of God. And then in verse number 18, it says, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. And for me, Paul asked for prayer for him right there, and for me, that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel. And so you see here, Paul asked somebody to go to God on his behalf with a request. The request was that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly. Now, do you think that Paul opened his mouth boldly? He was the best Christian, I think, possibly, arguably, he'd never say that, but that possibly ever lived, and he wrote half of the New Testament. I would go ahead and say that prayer was answered, and a half. I mean, people are still getting saved by what he wrote today. And may very well be all of the letters that he wrote, the power behind it was him asking for people to go to God on his behalf to pray for that specific prayer right there in Ephesians chapter 6. So Paul asks others to go to God for prayer on his behalf. Absolutely, it's answered. Now let's look at another entry, 2 Corinthians chapter 12. Back just a few more books, 2 Corinthians chapter number 12. And he here is saying pretty much that he went to heaven, caught up in paradise, and came back and couldn't speak about it. Unspeakable words, which is not lawful for a man to utter. But so then verse number 7 of 2 Corinthians, Paul says, and lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelations, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. For this thing I besought the Lord thrice. So he went to God in prayer on his own behalf, three different times at least, extensively, I believe, that it might depart from me. And he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. That was a very nice and proper no. That was God was just very professional there and saying, nope, not happening. So do we see the picture here? In praying for ourselves, if we ask others to go to God on our behalf, absolutely it'll get answered. If we go to God on our own behalf, I wouldn't count on it. Paul was way better of a Christian than me, at least, and wrote half of the New Testament. And God did not answer his prayer when he went on his own behalf. So, as I said, praying for me is not really in the Bible, but praying for others can be found all through it. So, there is a trick to praying for yourself, a loophole. God has some loopholes, and this is one of them. Amen? So let's check it out. James chapter number 5. This is our last verse for the night. James chapter number 5. I'm thankful that God hears every one of our prayers. It's convicting to me to know that every word is in prayer because he's home and he takes everything I say right to the Father through the Holy Spirit intercession. James chapter number 5. Verse number 16. Confess your faults one to another. Don't take them and confess them to God. Just confess your faults one to another. And also, newer versions say confess your sins one to another. We don't have to do that. That's not each other's ground. That's not our territory. We confess our sins to God and God alone. But confess your faults to one another, the next part, and pray one for another that you may be healed. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Pray one for another. And so if you have something, if I have something to ask God for, the Bible says take it to somebody and ask them to pray to God for it for me. And don't stop there, but ask them. Say, and by the way, is there anything that you need prayer for that I could pray for you? And that's the way that biblical prayer works. Now, think about this for just a minute. If you were in God's sandals and you got two people coming to you, one with a prayer list, one with a prayer list. And the first one has a list of thank you for dying to pay for my sin and thank you that I survived the car wreck last year. But here's everything I want. And it's down to the knee of stuff that they feel they don't have yet. And the other person comes with a prayer list and the entire thing. Thank you for doing this. 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 Thank you for paying for my sin. Thank you for heat. Thank you for food. Thank you for water. Thank you for life and strength and health and for being there always for me and for being my God. And at the bottom, there's this one thing, you know, I could use this, but it's not important. You've done so much for me. It's not even a big deal. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, if I was God, I'm not, but if I was, I would be inclined to say, take the dump truck that guy asked for and give it to the man who's thankful. Give it to the person who's thankful for everything that he already has. And I've seen that in multiple times. You just notice it. People that are asking in prayer for more, 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 they just don't seem to have enough and they're not content. And then you've got people who are thankful for everything God has done, and it seems like they just have more than enough to have a content heart, have a heart of thanksgiving. And so I just want to challenge us all tonight to pray for one another, pray for each other, bring your prayer requests to each other, and then let's have a heart of thanksgiving and an attitude of thankfulness and that was bad, but it could have been worse. It could have been worse type of attitude. Amen. And the health of a church congregation relies heavily on doing things biblically. And so we need to pray biblically. And so let's pray for each other. Amen. All right, let's pray. Father, thank you for this truth. Lord, thank you for showing us how to pray. And Lord, it's important to be praying for others. Help us to stay minded that way. And Lord, help us to have just an overflowing heart of thanksgiving and thankfulness for everything that you've done for us. And Lord, give us a powerful prayer life for others around us. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. All right. Well, I figured we'll just pray as a group tonight, okay? So